Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Patriots Friday on WEEI is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market and by FindMassMoney.gov.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Hour two, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Patriots Friday. We already talked to Dietrich Wise, Jelani Tavai making headlines this morning.
Sure did.
On the Greg Hill Show, reacting to that with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We'll also get to our four-pack of questions for Patriots and Bills coming up. Celtics were in action last night, as were the Bruins. I do want to work our way through that. But some of you waiting patiently here on the phones. What we talked about are those Tavai comments. We interviewed Dietrich Wise.
Yep.
I think Mike Reese put the hit out on Jerod Mayo today, officially.
It's a lot going on.
I think Alex Van Pelt said goodbye to the media yesterday.
Pretty much.
And so there's a lot going on with the Patriots. We'll take all your thoughts on it, starting with Pete in Lexington. Hello, Pete.
Yeah, hi, you guys. I think you already nailed it. I called in. The ownership actually does something besides collect money. And these guys, they're good people, but they're old. They're out of touch. They haven't had to be real active owners for three decades. And, you know, they did Mayo a disservice by hiring him. You know, Kraft keeps saying he measures nine times, cuts once. He didn't measure. He just cut. 5 years ago, he named his coach. So that's what I got to say. It's sad, but it happens to us all. New ownership.
Yeah. If they fire Mayo.
I don't know if you're getting that, but I mean,
you're not getting new ownership.
Getting that.
You might get a new guy calling the shots. Like, Robert may fade into the background. You might get Jonathan.
Although there's a lot of different, discussion around that, about how much he's already doing anyway.
I think,
you know, like maybe some of these moves, like, I don't know. Do you think Bill Belichick not being the coach here had more to do with Jonathan or Robert? I mean, maybe both. I mean, we all watched the dynasty, so maybe very much both.
I still think it's Robert, but you know, does Jonathan have bigger influence on his dad these days?
Maybe.
Is he more willing to listen these days? I think something like that is possible. I think his role has grown, as has Robin Glazer's within the organization. And so, that's not a different ownership group per se, but it would be a different person who might handle it differently in Jonathan Kraft. So I'd allow for that. But on the Krafts, if they want to win back their fan base, you fire this coach. You blow the whole thing up.
That's a start. Like, you're going to need to win games,
yeah,
right?
No,
but like that does. That's,
that
that's
is
a good offseason.
That is the first step to winning the fan base back.
So,
because I kind of think the Krafts are as lost as John Henry is. And I don't think you're going to get it back. And the one thing I give John Henry that I can't give the Krafts, they've won different ways. They've won with different managers. They've won with different GMs.
Different
they won
players.
With different groups of players.
Yeah.
They won after David Ortiz.
No, Robert Kraft, there's pretty much a specific formula
there's
for their winning.
One or two, if you want to give it to Bill, common denominators.
Yeah,
it's Brady and Belichick, and you were just along for the ride. So you want to win them back? You have to prove you're not John Henry. You're not disinterested. Your head isn't in the sand. And you're going to take the bull by the horns, acknowledge a mistake, and change things. If Mayo's back, he might as well be John Henry. He's not even John Henry, if that's what he does.
Well, the line on his on the call screen said Krafts need to evolve. The call ended up being they need to move on. But like them evolving. So if there's three scenarios, let me present you. Which would you say is the most likely all the way to least likely?
Okay.
They retain Jerod Mayo. they fire Mayo but bring in somebody they have a relationship with, like Mike Vrabel, or they fire Mayo and bring in somebody that has no ties to the Patriots.
Okay, so what I want would be the last one.
No, no, what do you think?
No, no.
Okay.
I'm saying what I want is the last one.
That's also the least likely.
I think it's the least likely. I think the way you ask them is the order. I still, because I don't trust them, I still think Mayo's back.
Yeah.
Even with the hit out from Mike Reese, I think he's back. And so I'd be okay with Vrabel replacing Mayo because Mayo shouldn't be back. I'd be okay with it. But what I actually want is they completely blow it up and go with Ben Johnson, or I've suggested Liam Cohen, something completely different. But I think that's by far the least likely. If they move on from Mayo, they'll just run right back to somebody who
they might not even interview anybody. He might just be Vrabel again.
That's true. They might. They might not even do an interview process.
Legally, they might have to do a process. Like they might have to interview candidates, right?
But it'd be a sham.
Yeah, for sure it would be. And it'd be the same idea, and they just bring in Mike Vrabel. But yeah, you know what? Even with all this going on, I'm with you. I do think Mayo comes back, and I think fans are going to be beside themselves.
Yeah. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But
imagine on Monday we're talking about Mayo's back and they have the fourth pick. Like they win the game on Sunday and then you're like, see, they end the year on the high note. It's like, no, you beat Mitch Trubisky in a game that you needed to lose. You now have the fourth pick in the draft in 4 months and you're telling us you're bringing back Mayo?
The whole thing has been a disaster.
How it really has. John Heyman nailed it. How much weight do you put into Mike Reese, that column today, the subsequent tweet with like all the bullet points?
Yeah.
Patriots coach Rob Mayo's roller coaster first season. He goes back and details them all. He starts in London calling the team soft.
Yeah.
And said people in the press room were like whispering to each other like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like we can't believe he just did
that. It's funny because it's just like a telling of the events. And some of this stuff as a fan maybe you'd forgotten about. There's just so many things that just kind of pile up. Like there's... You know, that moment where he called the team soft, that's definitely one that stands out. But there are plenty to go through, let alone the record. I mean, the record sort of speaks for itself. I think just the fact that the defense sucks as bad as it does, that's alarming, right? You thought no offensive line, no wide receivers, you're not going to score a lot of points. Yeah, makes sense. But the defense to take like three steps backwards, that's a really bad look for Jerod Mayo. So, yeah, you add it all up. This is the kind of thing, you know, because people always preach like, well, it's a bad sign from a franchise to fire a coach after 1 year. Like, you got to show patience and, you know, Jelani Tavai's Rome wasn't built in a day thing. But then when you take a look at some of the coaches that were fired after year one, wasn't that the right call?
Yeah.
Like, should they have hung on to Urban Meyer for another year or Freddie Kitchens for another year?
Jim Tomsula farting in the middle of press conferences? Like,
I don't need another year of that.
No.
And Mayo's way closer to that, if not right in there with those guys, than he is somebody that had a bad first year and then a big jump up the next year.
By the way, here's what Reese put out on social media. He said, after detailing Mayo and Elliott Wolf, their first years, the Crafts were confident in them. He says, the Patriots are not buttoned up as a franchise at the moment.
No.
Clarity from the Crafts should be coming. That feels like a weighty line.
A statement? A written statement?
Strong leadership from them is needed now more than ever. You detailed the defense here, and then we can get into some of the Celtics and Bruins. Greg is in Rhode Island waiting patiently. Go ahead, Greg.
Guys, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
You know, I hear a lot about Alex Van Pelt. I mean, you can choose whichever rat hole you want to go on with this season regarding these guys. But the defense, to me, just seems they're just in the way of whatever offense they're facing. There's not a lot of fumbles. And you can read, you know, the statistics. There's not a lot of interceptions, sacks, not even any schemes or anything to kind of coach up the guys that they have. I know they've had injuries. I get that. But they just don't seem to have any creativity, and there's no – the culture thing with Jerod Mayo, to kind of go off quick on another thing, is as far as him not building a culture, no matter who you have on that team, the culture is what you could build, no matter if you had, you know, whoever on the team. So that's just what I wanted to think, and I'll listen to you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, it said on the call screen, Covington has to go. The defensive numbers, I mean, I know the defense has been bad. Reading through Reese today, I was surprised – at how bad some of the rankings were, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, they haven't ranked this low in points per game allowed, which I think is probably the best metric, right? Especially when you have this many games to look at. The last time, I think, was 1990.
Nice.
They had a good year that year where they went, 1-15. That's where they're at. And obviously, 24 years, you know, you have Belichick, a handful of years, you have Pete, and you have Parcells, all defensive guys. And so your defenses were always significantly better. And right now they're 26th in points per game.
Here are the ranks. He compares this year's defense to last year's defense, which I thought was overrated. I thought there were certain games where Bill coached it to keep it close, not to get blown out, not to get embarrassed, to keep his job.
Yeah.
Okay? And by the way, I am not pining for Bill to come back by any means.
No.
Reese says the unit ranks last in the NFL in quarterback contacts.
Contacts?
Yeah, touch him.
Yeah, well, Justin Herbert, did he get hit once last
week? I don't believe
week?
So. Not a lot of quarterback contact in that game.
No.
Isn't that what got Ngakoue cut? He hit him late?
Oh, that's true.
No, you're
and
right.
Ross Tucker's like, oh, or that's Chris Rose. That counts as a pressure.
My bad. He did get hit. Yep.
The unit ranks last in the NFL in quarterback contacts, according to ESPN research. They slipped from 7th last year to 26th on third down conversions. The Patriots rank or have 12 takeaways this year. That's 30th in the NFL. Entering last year's finale, they had given up 349 points, 37 touchdowns. This year, it's 401 and 45 touchdowns. Red zone defense is currently 24th in touchdown percentage after they were 5th a year ago. So they dropped off significantly on defense. Mayo's a defensive coach. Yeah. I would lump him in with DeMarcus Covington, but I would say the bare minimum you do is say goodbye to DeMarcus Covington this offseason.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and then the question becomes, you know, when you're looking at both coordinators, is the head coach, if the head coach is staying, do you really need to bring, and this is probably a better question for the offseason, but quickly, do you need to bring in a defensive coordinator who's going to run the old Patriots and like Mayo's defense? Or wouldn't you say Mayo's not really doing much anyway, so if you can find somebody that has whatever their defense is, bring that in.
That's what I would want, but like I'm sure they bring in another Patriots connect. Yeah, I'm sure they just do the same thing and just try to, you know, rearrange the deck chairs. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Patriots, Jelani Tavai's comments, Jerod Mayo's job security, Alex Van Pelt, DeMarcus Covington. We talked to Dietrich Wise earlier today. So a lot of stuff going on here on a Patriots Friday on Jones and Keith. However, Celtics and Bruins both in action last
night. That's
right. I give the Celtics a lot of credit for their win.
That was a nice win.
I expected Jaylen Brown to play in that game. He didn't. They beat Minnesota. Another entertaining game against the Timberwolves. All these games are great. They all go down to the wire. It was another one possession game. Anthony Edwards, who we'll get to, misses a shot at the buzzer, which I thought the Celtics should have fouled there. I don't get why they let him take a three, but
they didn't
seem
like they're anywhere near him. No. Also, didn't that feel like 5 second violation? It felt like the dude had the ball forever on the inbound.
And they were out of timeouts.
Right. And then it was like all of a sudden it got to Edwards and the defense all of a sudden was like nowhere near him. I don't even think they could foul him. He got a wide open look. I think he was surprised how open he was, and then he bricked it and they win.
Long story short, I give the Celtics a lot of credit for that win last night. And I want to see if they can keep this going on the road trip. It's a 4-game road trip. They're on a back to back tonight in Houston. Then they get OKC on Sunday, I think it is, and Denver 2 days after that. Not an easy trip. They need to win at least 3 out of 4. I don't want to split on this trip. If you want to send a message that you're locked in and playing at a different level, take 3 out of 4 on this trip. I'll let you stub your toe somewhere. And maybe it's the back-to-back tonight against Houston.
Because they're all good teams. Yeah.
But you got to win 3 out of 4 on this trip. They started it off great. Tatum locked up Anthony Edwards last night. He was great offensively as well. It was a great, great Tatum game. I give him a lot of credit for that win last night. That's a good win.
Is that a potential rivalry between those two? I mean, they're two...
Tatum and Edwards?
They're probably the two best American players right now. I mean, depending on how you feel about the old heads.
Right.
They're probably the two best USA guys. And it seems like Tatum has dominated those matchups. You know, we talk about a lot of close games, but usually the Celtics are on top, and Tatum has these big performances. So not only was he scoring, but 8 rebounds, 9 assists in the game, only a couple of turnovers. And this was the game where the Timberwolves shot really well. The Timberwolves shot over 50% from three.
Oh, they lit it up. I think
they were lighting it up.
They might have hit the most threes they've hit all year.
It was also a weird kind of one possession game because, like, late in the fourth quarter, you're like, oh, the Celtics should just kind of walk away with this one. And then they did. Timberwolves made it close. The next thing you know, they have a shot at the buzzer to try to force overtime. So, yeah, they were just wondering how they're going to go. And I was watching, I think it was on TNT when I was watching it last night. And at the end, they were like, what is this? Their first back to back wins in, like, weeks? Like, they hadn't won back-to-back games in a while.
I'll fact-check that.
Double-check me on that.
That does sound right, because they had dropped, what, 4 out of 6 coming into the
Toronto game. Which is such a weird stat for a team.
They had not won two since they won 3 in a row December 2nd through the 6th. I'm sorry, that's not true. December 12th through the 15th.
They won back-to-back Detroit, Washington. Okay, so just 2 weeks or whatever. But still, for a team like this, it is a little bit surprising. And I had circled this little mini road trip even going back a few weeks ago, just because of these marquee games. We kind of highlight the complacency that the Celtics play with at times, and you're like, I don't know if you can be on this stretch. There's a reason to be motivated for each one of these games. And whether it's, you know, just seeing Anthony Edwards on the other side, or Ime Udoka, or Jokic, or the Thunder, who everybody want to anoint as like the as the next team, you have all these games on this stretch. So, yeah, I thought it was solid. Plus, you know, two of your, what, three or four best players aren't playing, so you add all that together.
Yeah, I mean,
look, and my guy Keita finally had a good game. How about Nemus?
He did. He dunked on Gobert last night.
Gobert got taken to school a few times.
Tatum? That one time
great.
He shook him
was
not
what big. Did you think of the, as an aesthetic, the court and like
I like the
paint?
I like the court and the Timberwolves uniforms.
I couldn't tell if I liked it or hated it because it was like a really weird, like not even their colors.
I liked it.
It was almost like, is this the NBA Cup? It was like a weird setup.
It was NBA Cup.
Like, what is this?
That's true. Maybe that's why I liked it. It looked like the NBA Cup.
You know what? I don't think I like those T-Wolves uniforms.
Hmm.
Give me the old ones.
All right. Well, you marinate on that for a little
bit. I'll sit on it.
Do you think Tatum was double teamed at all last night? Was he ever double teamed? Does he ever get double teamed?
I think Tatum does get double teamed quite a bit, actually.
Tatum gets double teamed a substantial amount. He had 9 assists, as you said last night.
He'll pass out of a double team.
Anthony Edwards is struggling with the double teams.
Sure.
Tatum asked, by the way, for the matchup on Edwards last night.
He
confirmed it after the game. Mazzulla confirmed that after the game. He went to Mazzulla and said, no, Jalen, I want Anthony Edwards.
Like it.
But he had help. They were jumping in with double teams. Edwards is, let's just say, trying to figure out the double teams that are getting thrown at him this year without Karl Anthony Towns.
That was a good brand of basketball, but it's not how I want to play, of course. I mean, I'm only 23. I don't want to just be passing the ball all night. You feel me?
Yeah,
at all. But the way that they guarded me, I think I have to. So
I was going to say, how hard is it to just stay engaged?
Super hard. Super hard. I mean, because I'm wired to score the ball.
Do you think that's what teams are trying to do to you, like mentally trying to take you out of the game?
I don't know. I don't. I mean, that might be a part of it, but I know they're just doing it. Yeah. I don't know if like their plan is like, let's mentally take them out, but because it don't like take me all the way out of the game, but it definitely frustrates me a little bit. But them doubling me definitely is like, bro, what is going on? So yeah, I be trying to figure it out, man.
We're trying to figure, bro, what is going on?
And I love Anthony Edwards.
Me too.
I think he's a character. However, he's really lucky he's in like Minnesota.
I mean, did you hear the reporters were like helping him? They were like,
difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't that so tough?
Imagine having two guys guard you at times.
Right.
When you're the best player on the floor, or certainly the best player on your team. Tatum was the best player on the floor. But you're this great player, and he's like, I don't want to just be passing the ball all the time. It's a great line, but you can only imagine if he was in a place that cared way more about it and was way more passionate about it, I wonder how that would go.
Well, and here's the thing about him. The media loves Anthony Edwards because of some of these like brash answers.
Yeah.
That's a loser. You want to talk about a loser comment? That's a loser comment.
Well, remember the knock on him coming out of college? And I remember being like, you know, pat on the back to me, being like, I'd still take him number one overall. But people were like, oh, he doesn't love basketball. That was like a big knock on him. It's like, oh, he says he doesn't like watch basketball 24/7. Like, he's still awesome at it. But there's some things.
I was a LaMelo guy in that draft.
He's good.
He's good, but he's not as good as Edwards.
Well, not as good as Edwards.
But so I said this about Edwards before. I think he's made the Tatum leap because I've seen some of that passing out of double teams from him in the past. Without Towns, that seems to be a different issue for him.
I still don't get that trade. That was a dumbass trade. They played better last year than I thought. And you're like, all right, you're not there yet, but
I didn't
blow
like
it up. And I don't even really like Randall.
I didn't like the trade for either team, but I hated it more for New York. Shows what I know. Because they're playing really well right now. Minnesota looks like they really miss Towns, and he's going to figure that out. Tatum had to figure that out in his career.
I don't think Randall matches up well with Edwards.
Me either.
You know?
Two ball dominant. And so Edwards has to figure that out. If he doesn't figure it out, he'll never make the leap.
Yeah.
If he does figure it out, then he'll be Tatum, and he'll deserve to be one of those top five, top 10 players in the league. And, you know, he'll probably go on some deep runs and maybe win a championship. You can't be flummoxed by a double team and go, what's going on out here?
Like, haven't you been double teamed your whole career?
I mean,
You've probably been the best player everywhere you've gone, high school, college, and then even, you know, with the T-Wolves, and yet he still doesn't know what he's doing. There was a play for Randall last night, and he actually had a good game. We were talking yesterday about how he hasn't been great. He's been worse than he was with the Knicks. He had a really good game, but there was one possession where he got the ball. It was just like dribble, 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 and then like fall away, like 16-footer that he missed.
Classic Julius Randle.
Joe Mazzulla must have been like, that is the worst shot I've ever seen in my life. First of all, it's not a three, so I hate it.
Yeah.
And then it's just you dribbling around until like the end of the shot clock and then like heaving like this fall away that he missed. But no, overall he was good, but you know, better start for the Celtics.
Good point by the text line, 617-779-7937. Guys, didn't you say yesterday Anthony Edwards doesn't do overtime? Why would he make that shot?
Oh, good point.
Good point.
He's not doing it.
I don't do overtime.
That's a good point.
So he missed it on purpose.
I thought he was going to have a monster game. I was wrong. So credit the Celtics defense for that.
Credit Tatum.
Yeah, and Tatum
specifically. And by the way, Mazzulla, if you're going to throw the guy can't handle double teams, throw double teams at him.
Shouldn't every team in the league only do that now?
Yes. Yes. After he he cries about it and says he doesn't know what to do?
The corpse of Mike Conley? Like, I don't think he's going to kill you. I think you're going to be all right.
Good win for the Celtics. I was impressed with the Celtics last night. We can get to the Bruins maybe at another point. Less impressed with them. I love McAvoy and Zadorov clunking into each other last night.
Yep.
Swayman.
Couple of hosses.
Only gave up two goals. I didn't think either one was great last night.
No.
This team can't score.
No.
And so, and by the way, that was a trash Rangers team on the other side, and you lost to them. So, not a good showing by the Bruins. We can get back to them with all your Celtics thoughts. 617-779-7937. And more on the Patriots, of course, as well, here on a Patriots Friday. We'll get to our four-pack of questions, Patriots and Bills, right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Cause for Kids. It's back-to-back losses for the Bruins after falling 2-1 to the Rangers at Madison Square Garden last night. Rangers goalie Jonathan Quick made 32 saves on 33 shots. Elias Lindholm netted the Bees' lone goal. The Bruins wrap up their three-game road trip tomorrow night in Toronto against the Maple Leafs. Face-off is at 7 o'clock. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 33 points in the Celtics' 118-115 win over the Timberwolves in Minnesota. Derek White added in 26 points of his own. The Seas are right back at it tonight for game two of their four-game road trip. The Celtics are in Houston to play the Rockets. Tip-off from the Toyota Center is at 8 o'clock. Yesterday, Patriots practice. Christian Gonzalez, Jalen Polk, and Ben Brown did not participate. 10 other players, including including Drake May, were limited. Patriots are back on the practice field as they prepare for Sunday's season finale against the Buffalo Bills. Kickoff from Gillette Stadium is at 1 o'clock. Week 18 in the NFL begins tomorrow afternoon, and you can hear the call of the games right here on 93.7 WEEI FM. Westwood One's coverage begins at 4 o'clock. Browns and Ravens kick off at 4:30, followed by Bengals Steelers, which kicks off at 8 o'clock. Notre Dame closed out the quarterfinals of the college football playoffs with their 23-10 upset win over number 2 Georgia. The semifinals of the playoffs will begin next Thursday when Notre Dame plays Penn State. Texas will play Ohio State on Friday the 10th. And tomorrow afternoon, the BC Eagles take on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets in Georgia. Tip-off is at noon, and you can catch the call of the game on WEEI AM 850 with coverage beginning at 11:45. Cars for Kids, no more stress over your old vehicle. Donate it today and get it picked up tomorrow. It's the easiest service out there. Donate online at carsforkids.org. That's Cars with a K. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.